bunch of story behind that, but we're not going to go there. One of the things that Ezra does, and we're looking in Ezra 10, verses 10 and 11. It says, Ezra the priest stood up and, stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan or foreign wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession to the Lord of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the people of this land and from the pagan wives. Wow. And then we're going to jump down to verse 16. It says, the descendants of captivity did so. Ezra the priest and certain heads of the father's households were set apart by the father's households, each of them by name. And they sat down on the first day of the 10th month and examined the matter. And by the first day of the first month, which is 3 months later, they had finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. What did God ask them to do? Put away the pagan wives, send them away. That is such a hard word to hear, isn't it? Because these are men who had wives, foreign wives with children. They loved them. But it was not what God had asked of them. And now he was saying, put them away. Why would God ask such a thing? Isn't he against divorce? They sent away these foreign wives and children, and the why. Because it just seems like such a hard thing to hear. And I'm reading this word, and I'm going, what? Lord, why do you want me to preach on this? What are we doing in this? Like, well, what had they done? They hadn't followed the law that Moses had brought to them. And they were asked to put them away because these foreign women, these pagan women, were bringing their idols, their false religions, their false thinking in to Israel, in to the people of Israel. Now, are we there yet? Okay, we're back. Okay, maybe. There we go. We'll get to the title. There's just a picture of them talking. So let's move back. Well, it's actually a couple of chapters. We're going to go to 1 Kings. And we're going to read about King Solomon, chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. King Solomon, however, now what do we know about King Solomon? Wisest man. God gave him wisdom. Wisest man. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Where do you suppose Pharaoh's daughter came from? Egypt. What do we know is a type and shadow? What is Egypt a type and shadow of? Bondage and the world. Worldly thinking, worldly systems. So, besides Pharaoh's daughters, he had wives from the Ammonites, Moabites, Edomites, all the ites and Hittites, anyhow. Sorry, I apologize for that. I practice this and it just sometimes doesn't come up. But thank you, Lord, that they have the word, they could read them themselves. They were from nations about which the Lord had told Israel, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your heart after their gods. Nevertheless, wise Solomon, it doesn't say that there. It says, nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had, get this, guys, 700 royal brides, brides of royal birth, or wives of royal birth, and 300 concubines. Wow, I know a lot of you say one's enough for me. And his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not so fully devoted to the Lord as the heart of David, his father, had been. So one of the things that I know about Scripture is it isn't just there to give us the history. God is sharing stories with us and telling us things. He told the people, listen, don't go getting mixed up in these adultery following people, because they will turn your heart. Don't get caught up in it. And it's a type and shadow of for us today of the world. Now, I'm not saying you're running out and marrying foreign women or that kind of thing, or men. But if we're getting caught up into the things of the world, the thinking of the world, and the things that are influencing us away from God, we have, like Solomon, turned our hearts and holding fast to them and loving them. There are things and situations happening. Bless you guys. Enjoy your granddaughters. that we have turned our hearts to that are not of God. And that's what the Lord wants to speak to us about this morning. When we start, okay, let's take a look at King Solomon. Solomon's heart starts turning away. He dies, and his son Rehoboam comes onto the throne. In that one generation, Israel starts falling apart. Solomon, who compromised, the next generation falls away. Now, again, we see the kingdom gets split. There's now Judah and Israel. I believe, as Keith has shared this morning, Rehoboam, and then Jeroboam over here. And it's I'm just going to say this, it's a mess. It's a mess, and it just disintegrates very quickly to where eventually, as we read this morning, they went into captivity. And then coming back to the promised land, there's a time for the restoration. Let's head into the New Testament. We're going to look at what is this wives and putting off things in foreign land. What does it mean to us today? We have to look at and let the Holy Spirit, this is where I'm asking Holy Spirit, I asked this morning, to reveal in our hearts what are the foreign wives that we're still holding on to from the world. What is the thinking? What are the things that we're captivated by in the world that we're still holding on to? Because as we hold on to those things, we will never move forward into all that the Lord has for us. They're there for us, but if our hearts are being turned, it's hard to move forward. Let's take a look here. This is Paul writing his second letter to the Corinthians here. And I'm starting in verse 5. It says, chapter 5, verse 20, my favorite chapter in 2 Corinthians. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Okay, let's stop there. We are Christ's ambassadors. Who do we represent? And his kingdom, right? We're here. We're bringing kingdom. We are the representative. Everywhere you put your foot, everywhere you stand, is kingdom ground, not earthly ground. Because you understand, we carry Holy Spirit. We carry the presence of Christ in us. And we are here to represent. Just like the children of Israel were to represent God in their day, so we are here to represent. We are ambassadors of Christ. Okay. And through God, we're making his, as though God were making his appeal through us. Whose appeal is it? Our appeal or his appeal? It's him that's making the appeal through us. We're here to share the good news of Jesus. Paul goes on to say, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's an amazing verse right there. But what is Paul talking to? Who is he talking to? He's talking to these Corinthians. Why did they need to be reconciled to God? Aren't they believers? They are. But something has happened. Something has gone on and has changed things a bit here. And so I'm going to give you a little background as to why Paul is writing this letter. There's a group of people who've come in while Paul's away, or gone on to minister elsewhere, but he's still in contact with the Corinthians. And there's a group of people called the Judaizers who came in preaching the law of God, not the grace of Jesus. And they've come into the church and they've started challenging Paul's genuineness and the genuineness of those who had come and ministered with him there in Corinth. And what it did is it just brought confusion to the gospel. So Paul has got to address what's been going on there. And he starts sharing in chapter 6. He says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he said, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. And that's from Isaiah 49:8. He starts by saying, not to receive God's grace in vain. What has happened, you see, is what Jesus has done. It is a work of God. It is by his power, his ability, his grace, in other words, that we are saved. It's not about the mighty, wonderful works of things that we can do, which is what the Judaizers are saying. You've got to do this and you've got to do that, based your righteousness on your works. And it's not about that. It's about what Jesus did, who we are in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not in my ability to keep the law and all of that, though through the power of the Holy Spirit I can. And that is the desire of us, to keep in line with the word of God, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own strength and our own doing. I tell you now, okay, sorry, I got ahead of myself here. In the time of my favor, I heard you. What time are we in now? His favor, his grace. Peter, just after the Holy Spirit had been pulled out, chapter 2 of Acts, is talking to the people out there, and he starts quoting scripture, and he's talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and he says, this that you're seeing right now, this is that was mentioned in Joel. Right, Joel? It's mentioned in the book. This is now. This is the time. So we are in the time. The time of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The time of God's favor. The time of God's grace. So Paul says, listen, don't you start receiving God's good news, his grace, in vain. Don't start receiving what God has, you know, and then walk away from it back to what these Judaizers are, back to your work righteousness, the law, all these things about you and your strength and being able to do it. He says, don't be doing that. So he kind of lays it out this way. He says, now listen, this is what's happened. They brought this confusion. And he starts doing something. He goes on to say, look, they've talked against him. They've called him down. The Corinthians aren't sure who to believe. Well, I don't know if we should believe Paul. I guess we should believe. And they've started turning their hearts against him, and we'll see that in just a minute. But Paul goes on in verses 3 to 10 to talk about, look, you want to know how genuine I am? We've been through great endurance, great troubles, great hardship, distress. We've been beaten, imprisoned. We've had sleepless nights. Anybody had sleepless nights where you're praying for people? A few of us have. Maybe more than a few, I hope. Been hungry. Been with the fruit of the Spirit. Walked with the fruit of the Spirit. And in sincere love have loved them. His point being, listen, if I wasn't genuine about God and Jesus and what he'd done, why would I do any of that? Why would I put up with that? This is my call. This is my ministry. genuinely loves the believers. Then he makes this next statement in verse 11. He says, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affections from you, but you're withholding yours from us. As far as exchange, I speak to you as my children," in other words, fatherly love for you. "Open wide your hearts to us." What has started happening? Their hearts started being turned away by the words that were spoken by these people they were allowing to influence that were ungodly, not following the Lord. Their lies and their confusion in that was turning their hearts. And it was they were letting them influence them. And I want to ask you something. Have you ever followed, let's say, a pastor or a preacher on TV, and they have a good word, and it's good, and it lines up with Scripture, but they've fallen away, and you turn our hearts against them? Or somebody says something, let me put it this way, somebody says something about them, or maybe you read something on, social media or something, and your hearts turn against them. But you haven't found out for sure if the word is true or, and I'm not saying there aren't those that fall, but do we turn our hearts against them? Do we follow what they're, no, we wait, we pray for a reconciliation, we pray for restoration for them. But we also need to be careful about following the influences of other people. How many of you have ever just seen one negative thing about somebody that you thought was a good, and then you immediately got in there and you check that out, you start, oh, is that right? And your heart is already quickly being influenced. So Paul is addressing something here with the Corinthians, and that is not fully walking is what I'm trying to say, in discernment of who they should be fellowshipping with. He goes on in verse 14, he says, "Do not be yoked together with an unbeliever," or unequally yoked. Now, right off the bat, I don't know about you, were raised in a time where that meant don't marry an unbeliever. It doesn't exactly say that, but there definitely is that understanding with it, right? Don't get hooked up. Don't be business partners with an unbeliever. And we get all kind of freaked out. Well, then how are we going to share the good news of Jesus with the unbeliever? No, that's not what it's saying. It's talking about being a part of something. I'm just going to use the business model as an example. If you're hooked up with a business partner who is an unbeliever, how quickly is it going to be for that person to maybe fall into some shady business? Maybe a little dishonesty. Maybe we won't claim this part for our income tax. Let's kind of manipulate it. And you're alongside that person. Now you have a choice to say, no, stand up. Or you can, okay, that sounds good. A little compromise. Government has too much money anyway. Good grief, what are we doing? I agree with you. Let's do that. Better we have it, we can do more good with it than they can. A little bit of compromise. A little bit more compromise. And we're being influenced. That unequally yoked actually comes from the idea of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy tells, God tells them, listen, don't put your ox with the ass. They're not going to plow the same way. They're not going to pull together. They're not going to team together. And in fact, the yoke we should be taking, as Jesus says, take my yoke. Partner with me. And that, what does, partner with me. What does, this is Paul, what do the righteous and the wickedness have in common? What do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Nothing. Okay. or fellowship, what fellowship can light have with darkness? I'll tell you what, the minute you turn on the light, the darkness is gone. You can't. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, it's the way it's Belial, okay. Satan, another word for Satan. What does Christ and Satan have in common? Nothing. Or what does the believer have in common with the unbeliever? Nothing. What agreement is there between the temple of God, and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. See, we are children of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. And we have an inheritance that is totally separate from the agenda of this world and the enemy. What do we have in common with those things? Everything that sets itself up against God, get away from. And again, the problem that the Corinthians were having was their inability to walk in discernment and who they should have fellowship with. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived, bad company ruins or corrupts good morals. I know what it was like. Remember years ago, new believer coming along with some hard to give up your old friends. Hard to do it. But they were just not wanting to walk with God or wanting any part of me and were quite happy to draw me away. Oh, come on. What, you know, you can come with us to the party, but you don't have to drink. You don't have to smoke up. You can just come with us. Boy, it was tempting. I will go have some fun. These are my friends. We have some good times. It's tempting. But God said, put away. Does it mean I stopped praying for my friends? No. It just meant I stop letting them be an influence in my life. It's hard. But with Holy Spirit, we can do it. One of the saddest things that is happening in today's world, and you guys know how I feel about teenagers and young adults and that, is what's happening in our schools and our universities. Well, and outside of that too, there's so many areas. They are inundated with the demonic agenda. And I'm calling it what it is, taking my chances, speaking it out. With the LGBTQ plus transgendered stuff, the wokeness, women's rights and freedoms to abort babies, which we will call it murder. And when we start justifying, compromising, we are starting to come into covenant, come into marriage relationship, love relationship with the idols, the foreign gods, the foreign wives. That's the point God was trying to make. We're starting to get, and it's hard to let it go. As God has said, this is Paul going on, I will live with them, walk with them, and will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, as the Lord said, touch nothing unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is a letter to us as well, as the Corinthians. We have come to a place that sometimes, and it's a warning to us, and also maybe something that we need in our hearts to examine, because maybe we have come alongside things where we've adopted, that we've come into covenant with them, a covenant vow with them, a relationship where we've compromised and come into a part of the world. Maybe it has to do with what we watch on social media or on the TV. It's getting pretty weird out there. Maybe it's listening to certain kinds of music or people who are pro demonic agenda. I'm bringing it up again. This is a hard word, but we have to put away these foreign gods, these foreign wives, I should say, these idols and these gods that are going to turn our heart as things get harder. And I don't want to be one of those people who's, you know, oh, you're just a fatalist or whatever. I'm just telling you what the words of Jesus said. We see it getting darker. We see it increasing. And we know we have to stand in the truth of God. And I say this morning to say, maybe the Holy Spirit is quickening to your heart, piercing your heart with some foreign wives, idols, and things that you've kind of loving on, that you need to put away, you need to send away. And so I'm going to call those that I've asked to be part of a prayer team this morning. We're going to put the men, on this side, because that's where Jim is, and ladies over here, if there's things in your heart this morning that you need prayer for, that you need to be set free from, or that you're struggling with, I want to call you over, and that way, and we're going to pray for you this morning. One of the things that we've talked about is not being afraid to come forward, not being afraid. Don't let the enemy hold you back because you're afraid of what people will think, or whatever that fear might be. Whatever that thing is, it's limiting you. I encourage you to come. Be set free. There's nothing like coming and being set free from things when the enemy is cast aside and the truth of God fills your heart with the light that's there. God has that for you this morning. And healing comes. It says, confess your sins to one another, and that you may be prayed for it and healed. Healing comes with that. And so we just, again, I'm going to encourage you this morning as I pray. So let me pray, and we'll just, let me just move this forward to that. Holy Spirit, you are here. You came. Jesus said you would send us the Comforter, one who would never leave us or forsake us. You are here in power and presence to bring us to a place of repentance from those things that are holding us back from all God desires for us to have. So, Father, I pray over each heart this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to these hearts of those things that need to be released. Give them courage, Holy Spirit, to come forward and be prayed for this morning. And though, Father, and we just thank you that as we leave today and go from this place, we go rejoicing, changed, and set free. And help us walk in discernment of who and where to have fellowship. We ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen.